Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
What do we say here? I'm a little podcast action there. Reggie, how you doing? Good, good, good. Yeah, I'm doing pretty good. Getting ready for the Christmas holidays in a couple of weeks here. Wow. Didn't it seem like it was just around last year this happened? Oh, I know. That's such an awful joke. But it's true. I do remember talking if I'm in I remember talking about the new year and blah, blah, blah. And wow. I mean, man, this was a fast year. The beginning of next year, I'll start to talk about, this was a tough year, actually. It was, an interesting year. It was, had some nice things, but it was a little odd this year. I'll get into that with, some future podcasts as we go. But right now, it's all good. We're ending off this year with a positive view of the world, right? So what do you say? Anyway, are you ready, Reg? I am too. So let's start this thing. All right, I'll give you the three S's: star, smile, strong, and here we go. Get ready. Trigger finger on the button. Hit that record button. 3, 2, 1. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, a new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget to tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. If you like what you hear, I hope you'll go to WGNRadio.com, go to the podcast section, and go to the prompt for this podcast. And my gosh, if you've ever wondered, what's that Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic about? Whether you're a regular listener, you know, but if you're kind of new to things here, we've been doing this for almost 10 years. In fact, in May, a few months from now, we'll be celebrating our 10th anniversary, 10 years of doing this. So it's always good to find out what we've done and what we've talked about so you get an idea where we're going in the future. So go in there and load more and scroll down and load more. They don't go back all 10 years, but they go back a good way to get you updated as to where things are in the last couple of years, definitely. Lots and lots of episodes in there. And we are coming up to a very important and milestone, very cool milestone, episode 500. But we're not there yet. We'll have to finish this one first. Because this is episode 499. Wow. I said this last week and I still haven't made up my mind. I'm still not sure what I'm going to do for next week's podcast, number 500. Well, I got to make up my mind pretty soon, but we'll see. I don't know if we're going to throw a big blowout podcast or just say 500 and onward and onward and onward. Who knows? We'll see. But you can't get to 500 unless you get done with 499. So what do you say, Reg? We'll do this one now. What I wanted to talk about today is it was a very interesting thing that happened to me. And I didn't realize it until after it occurred for a while. And I'll explain as I go. We all know what we look like, right? Or do we? That's an interesting question. Do right now, don't, if you're not looking in a mirror, if there's no reflective device around you, no computer screen, no window, no mirror, nothing, if you're just kind of sitting in a spot where, or walking, or wherever you're at right now, listening to this podcast, whatever you're doing, if you are in a spot where there is no reflection of what you look like, there's no way of telling what you look like right now. Do you know what you look like? Do you have an idea of what you look like? How many times? I mean, depending on your age, you have been looking. I mean, until we get to a point of awareness, I don't know where that is when actually a baby, a human baby, looks at their reflection or looks at a picture and realizes that was them. That's them. I wonder when that happens. I would love to have known. You know, there's so much, like when we're babies and we're growing up, talk about being like our early years of development and these new discoveries that just happen like one day. You know, when you talk to your parents and you started to walk at this time. I remember I've got pictures of the day I started to walk, and my mom and dad took pictures because it was like, this is a major deal. I mean, this kid has been crawling around and now there he is. And I've got photos of it, and they've got ear to ear smiles. What a major development in everybody's existence at that time. I mean, this baby, and I think what you're about maybe one and a half, maybe two, maybe one and a half or so when you can really start to walk. I mean, before that, think about the realities. And once again, I'm not a parent, so I'm thinking about this. I can't fall back on first person experience here. So bear with me. But if you're a parent, you realize. I mean, what? And I'm just doing it as an observer, like, wow, what a change in your lifestyle. I mean, there was a time for the first 1.5 to 2 years, I think, is it a year? I don't know. I mean, once it shows you how ignorant I am on this, I don't have kids. Let's say between a year and a half and two, right? But at least for the first year, you were carrying this baby around everywhere. They were completely dependent on you to get from one place to another. Oh, sure, they could crawl a little and blah, 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 and roll over and everybody threw parties and stuff for that. But my point is, they were still dependent on you to pick them up and put them somewhere. And this leap forward, where talk about a leap forward to self-sufficiency in our own personal history. When we go from crawling or sitting or being dependent to be picked up, when we all of a sudden can walk on our own, think about what that does. I mean, that changes the whole ball game for everybody, not only from the parent who now can say, come here, doesn't need to constantly be there picking the kid up. But think about the mental shift. Now you, when you learn to walk, that to me, it's not just the physical, the motor skills that allow you for balance and to pick up and walk, whatever develops there. I mean, that's a huge, huge leap forward in your development as a human being. But think about it too. The ability to walk now gives you a whole new life perspective. Because it gives you freedom, and it gives you this baby of a year and a half or whatever it is, the ability to make choices, to make decisions. We don't even realize that. But think about the freedom and liberation that walking gives a baby. Not only are they able to stand up and walk and be somewhat self-sufficient in that way. They don't need to be picked up to move to the next person. Come here, they can move from this spot to that spot, from this room to that room. But in those moments when they're not being asked to make a move or to make a shift, they can make the decision to go to the left or go to the right. Or go straight, or sit down. That's a monumental shift in our reality as a human being. Up to that point, before we walk, We don't make those decisions. Somebody makes them for us. They put us somewhere where they want us to be. And when we learn to walk, some of that still exists. They still could put us wherever they want. But there are times when we could go where we want. That's monumental. That's huge. And you know what? We don't even realize it. We don't remember the first time we walked and the first time we decided, well, now that I'm up on my feet and the world seems different down here because I'm used to be up there with them and now I'm considerably lower, but at the same time, I can, these legs, these things that used to dangle and kind of be around, they have a purpose now. I could feel them. Before, they just were kind of dangling. And even when you crawled, it's like, you know, you're on your knees. But now there's new muscles being used and there's a new dexterity. My God, what a huge, huge moment. And we never remember that. There's so many of those things that happen to us as we are developing from a newborn and an infant to a baby and then an adolescent and things like that, that happen. They said their first word today. That's huge. That should be documented. You know, somebody should write that down. First word, first day. I think my mom, I have to get my little baby book out. I told you, I think I've got that book. I know I've got it. I got to bring that out again. Every so often I get a little nostalgic on that. But I bet you, because my mom, I was an only child, so my mom documented everything because she just was like, this was all completely new stuff to her. This was amazing stuff, you know. And so she documented every first thing, every first word. And so I'm sure like the date was even there. I'll have to take a look at that. But so many obvious, you know, like I said, so many developmental things that are huge. We don't have any memories of them. We don't have any way to catalog that in our own mind because we just don't have memories of those early days. But as I said before, do you know what you look like? Could you draw a picture of what you look like right now? I see so many people create these avatars of themselves now. I don't have an avatar of myself. But I know a lot of people do. They have it on their computers. They create these avatars. And don't you love the way some of these avatars look? There's these people, these avatars, the imagined view that we have of ourselves. I've never seen a chubby avatar. I've never seen a round-bodied avatar. Everybody's avatar seems to be slim. They've got one chin. They've got an angular face. It's amazing, isn't it? And this is my point. Do you know what you look like? Could you draw a picture of yourself right now? Don't look in a mirror. Don't look in any reflection. Draw a picture of what you look like right now and then take that picture and hold it up to yourself in the mirror and say, oh, I bet you that's what happens. And that's what sort of happened to me a couple of weeks ago, or about a month ago, I should say. On the last podcast, I was talking to you about, I was just in a play. I just finished it a couple of weeks ago at the end of November. And so I'm now getting, you know, going through kind of the withdrawals of that play. I enjoyed it very much. It was called Inherit the Wind, and I played the role of Henry Drummond. It was a role that Spencer Tracy played in the classic film, and it was very well received, and I had a great time doing it. Just loved it. One of my favorite dream roles, if you will. But one of the things that I had to do for this role, because the play basically takes place in 1925. And so if you've seen any photos of me over the last, you know, several years, I have had a mustache and goatee as a regular part of my look, my facial hair, I would say almost 30 years now. I know that I started growing it in 1997. And so I remember because we went to Italy and I think I may have actually started to grow it in Italy. I always seem to change my looks when I go on a vacation. I'm like, I'm away from home and somehow there's a new freedom or a sense of change. Like when on our honeymoon, we went to London on our honeymoon. And while we were in London on our honeymoon, I got my my left ear pierced at Selfridges in London. And I've had that ear pierced now for 35 years. And about 2 years ago, I think, I got the other one pierced finally. But I've had my left ear pierced for 35 years. And I had it done when I was on my honeymoon. And I'll never forget because I went, like I say, went to the famous store in London, Selfridges. You may have heard of it. It was kind of the precursor to Marshall Field's. Selfridge used to work at Marshall Field's in Chicago, and then went to started Selfridges in England. But he worked at Marshall Field's and saw how great it was and said, I'm going to open one of these of my own. And so I went there and I remember I came home and my parents picked us up at the airport, and I remember my mom seeing this, you know, this diamond stud. Now I'm not talking about myself at the point. this diamond stud in my left ear, and she went, my mom was from, you know, was from an older generation. And so she's like, what did you do? But I have had that earring not that exact earring, but I've had an earring in my left ear for 35 years. Longer than I haven't had one. And now I have actually both ears pierced, but as I said, I think it was maybe 2 years ago that I got the other one pierced. I have to look back now. But anyway, and then, as I believe, when we were in Italy, we went to Italy for the first time in 1997, and I think I started to grow my goatee then, because I see the pictures, and it was like a week and a half, 10-day trip, and I see the early pictures. I had, you know, like some hair, and then as the pictures went on for another week or so, it got in. So I don't know when I don't know if I started it in Italy per se, or I started before Italy a few days and then it started to grow, but it definitely, by the time I came back, I would say that I had a goatee. So I seem to change my look when I go on vacation sometime. But my point is, I mean, we all know what we look like, or do we? As I come back to that, because how many times do you see a picture and you go, oh, wait a minute, now that picture doesn't, that's not the one, that's not the person I see in that mirror. And how many times do you go to a mirror and you go to a different mirror and you look different in a different mirror? And there is, of course, that famous Seinfeld episode about the mirror where Elaine puts on a dress and she doesn't look the same as she did in the mirror at home. I think there is some optical reality to that not all mirrors are the same. Now, obviously, when you go to to a carnival, they have the crazy house and they have those exaggerated mirrors and stuff. So obviously, mirrors are not a perfect representation. It seems to me that film pretty much is. Mirrors can be deceiving. But, and I don't know, I mean, and once again, lighting is, I mean, you know, how we look can change constantly. Once again, lighting, angles, everything. But we sort of have a general idea of how we look, or do we? And that's the question, because as I said, now I've had this goatee and mustache for 37 years. or 35 years. So, at least. No, 97, so not quite there yet. Almost 30 years. But certainly it is my look. If you go back and look at photos of me from 19, I didn't have it at our wedding. But now that I'm thinking about it, no, that's true. 97. Yeah, I think 97, 96, who knows? Now I don't even know. I have to go back and look. 94, no. 95, 96, no, I think it was 97. Yeah, I think it was 97. Late 96, 97. Maybe it wasn't in Italy. Maybe not. No, I can't remember now. I know there's pictures that I have a faint goatee, so now I'm kind of, I've always had in my mind it was 97. Maybe it wasn't. But anyway, it's definitely 90, 97-ish. But, so it's been almost 30 years. And so that's been my look. Now, that goatee itself, that mustache and goatee has certainly changed over the years. It used to be very dark. And now it is dark because I color it. But it's not dark anymore. It's slowly gotten gray over the years, as my beard has, which I haven't grown out my beard in many years. But I have a feeling that if I grow out my beard, it will be complete. I mean, there might be a few stray dark hairs here and there, but that's been quite the eye opener. But still, my point is that I've had this goatee, which is a major part. It changes your look. There's no question. It changes your look. Some people say that facial hair makes you look older. I don't know if that's true. I mean, today, obviously, a lot of people. I see the goatee actually coming back, which is interesting. It was big in the mid to late 90s, and then it faded, and then in the early 2000s, or at least in the last 15, 20 years, at least, you know, these guys and I've been growing beards, but these big, you know, like kind of, you know, outdoorsman beards too. I mean, so the beard has definitely been a major part of the male look now. It'll be interesting to see if that ever goes back. But I am starting to see more goatees come back again, which I thought was interesting. I thought maybe the beard had just eclipsed that, but now it seems the goatee, I'm starting to see a few more people wearing it, younger people. Seems like older men still cling to the goatee for some reason. Maybe because, you know, there's not as much hair to color. If you grow a beard and you don't want to look, you know, like it's all gray, it takes a lot more to color it. But anyway, I've had this goatee for close to 30 years. Let's put it that way. And I have shaved it a couple of times for acting roles. But for the most part, and I sometimes have altered it, but I've never, you know, but it hasn't really been, you know, all that often that I have been completely shaven. But yet the irony is in the last 2 years, I have altered my look because of the goatee two times in 2 years for two separate roles. Last summer in 2024, I played this role of Howard Beale in Network, and so I shaved the bottom of this to goatee off, and I kept the mustache because the play took place in the 70s, and you know men used to wear mustaches in the mid to late 70s, and I was playing an anchor man, and so I kind of fashioned that mustache after Walter Cronkite, who was the leading anchor man at that time, and he had a mustache, so I figured that Howard Beale would have a mustache because Walter Cronkite had a mustache, and that was the style for an anchorman at that time. So I just kept the mustache, but I saved the bottom part off of, you know, by the close of your lips, and then the whole part by your chin. So I just had the mustache. But as soon as the play was over, you know, I grew that back, you know, because I mean I got used to seeing that. I mean, I did the play for a month and a half or so, and didn't shave the bottom half off during rehearsals, but there came a point when I had to for photos and everything else. but I did keep it as long as I could. But then I sort of got used to it, of having the mustache. And there was a moment there when I thought about just keeping the mustache, because you see some mustaches around, but not many. You know, it's a beard. I mean, the dominant male facial hair. Younger person, it's the beard. Older people, it seems to be the mustache and goatee. You just don't see the mustache on its own all that much. But you're beginning to see it a little. And as I said before, you're also beginning to see not the full beard, but the goatee and the mustache. But so I got used to that. I mean, I looked at myself in the mirror every day. There were photos taken of me for the play itself. And I got used to seeing myself with that look. And I thought it looked okay. And there was a point where I even actually thought I might keep it for a second. But then I was so used to my look of with the goatee. And I do like that look. So I grew the bottom back very quickly as soon as the play was over. And I've had it since then. Well, then I get this role as Henry Drummond in Inherit the Wind. And so it takes place in 1925 when men either didn't really have a lot of facial hair at that time in the 20s. That was the clean-shaven look. You know, in the 1800s, everybody had beards, and even in the early 1900s, everybody had beards and mustaches and big mutton chop, sideburns and all that. But then the 20s, it became kind of the roaring 20s, and it was the clean-cut look. And if you look at people, men from the 20s, F. Scott Fitzgerald and all the great Gatsby kind of looks during the 20s, you don't see a lot of facial hair on men. And so, and this character, as I said, I was playing in Inherit the Wind, was this role of Henry Drummond, but it was based upon the real life lawyer, Clarence Darrow. And Clarence Darrow was clean shaven. He did not have any facial hair. Especially in his prime, especially when the time when he was the lawyer for the court case that is represented in the play and the film Inherit the Wind. And so I said, and so the director asked me, he said, well, you know, we're would you be willing to shave off your mustache and goatee? And I said, oh, definitely. I said, you know, whatever the part entails, I will do it. I mean, if I'm, you know, Henry Drummond is not Clarence Darrow, but he sort of is Clarence Darrow. And so I, you know, once again, committed to the character. We suffer for our art. And so I said, no, certainly I will. Now, this is going to be a complete shaven thing. You know, not just the bottom goatee part, but the mustache itself. I hadn't done that in a long, I mean, I think the last time I did, I know I did it about 20 years ago when I played the Big Bopper in a musical of the Buddy Holly story. The Big Bopper was J.P. Richardson. If you ever see any pictures of the real Big Bopper, he did not have any facial hair. Once again, in the 50s, men didn't really have facial hair either. And so in the Big Bopper, I was playing the Big Bopper, and so I had to look as much as like him as I could. And so I did shave off my goatee completely, and it was kind of strange for a while, but then I got used to it. But as soon as the play was done, I grew it back. As I said, for the most part, in most of the roles that I've played, I haven't had to shave. I think the last time I shaved it off was probably maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago. I did a play called My Three Angels. And it's a role that Humphrey Bogart played in the film. We're No Angels is the name of the film. It's a great movie. It's actually kind of a Christmas movie. You might be able to see it every so often on some cool old movie things called We're No Angels. It takes place at Christmas. But it's not as well known, obviously, as It's a Wonderful Life or things like that. But anyway, I was playing this role, and the director said, you know, I'd like you to be clean shaven for this, because it takes place at a time when men weren't really wearing facial hair, or this character wouldn't. And so I did, and it was a little strange for me, but I did it. And once again, as soon as the play was over, I grew it back, and I've had it certainly ever since then, since the mid 20, I can't remember now what year it was. It was probably I don't know, 2018, 2017, 2016, something like that. Yeah, maybe 16, 17. So it's been a long time. I've had the goatee regularly. I have not shaved it off for any plays, for any reason, I don't think, since then. Well, so now I'm going to, you know, I shaved partially for last year for Howard Beal. And so this year, he asked me to be clean shaven. And so I did. And it was very weird to just shave. If men have ever had a beard or in a mustache or a goatee or something like that, you know that you know, especially if you had it for a long time, that's kind of a part of your look. As I said before, we all know what we look like, right? Well, it was very strange to 1 minute look at myself as the way I've always seen myself in the mirror. And then the next minute, it wasn't that easy to shave that off. I had to go through several phases. I first had to clip it with some scissors, and then I went over it with an electric clipper and get most of it down to the skin, and then I finally took the razor blade and shaved it off. So it took like three steps, but I finally shaved it off, and I looked at myself in the mirror, and I said, "Who the heck is that?" I did not. It was so strange to see. It had been a good, you know, almost 10 years or so, at least, you know, 8 or 9, that I hadn't shaved that off. And it was just so strange to see my face without that facial hair. It's amazing the difference that it made, at least in my eyes. And then I was a little paranoid because I shaved it off. It was like in, you know, say October-ish. Now, I'm not, as I've said to you many times, I'm not a big sun worshiper anymore. I've stayed out of the sun for the most part for the last 20 or 30 years. But still, you get some accidental sun just walking around. I'm not, you know, walking with a hood on when I'm outside. I get some accidental sun. And so what I was afraid of is when I shaved off this this goatee, that there would be a line. I mean, I could always, you know, enhance it with, you know, and cover it up with makeup, stage makeup. But I was afraid that, you know, I haven't shaved this mustache in a long time. And I got some, you know, just kind of natural, you know, color to my skin over the summer. Not a lot, but enough that there might be a line of where that was. And there was, if you look close, it was faint, but it wasn't like, oh my God. So that I was a little happy about, because I don't go out and get suntans anymore. I don't lay out in the sun, and I actually try to stay out of the sun as much as I can, just from the standpoint of, you know, not only the damage as it does to your face, but then also, you know, the possible melanoma problems. So at least I didn't get enough sun where there would be a line. But I have to tell you, I was, for a while there, I really had to get used to what I looked like without the goatee. And in fact, I remember when I walked downstairs and my wife saw me, she's like, "Whoa, what the heck is that?" And I'm like, "Well, I have to do it for the," and I think it took her for a while to get used to it. And then I saw some friends and they were like, "Wow," because I didn't even tell them I was going to do it. And they were like, "Wow, you know, where did this come from?" You know? And then suddenly, you know, I walked into the first rehearsal and the people that I didn't really know a lot of people in the play at all. They just knew me from the first day we met at rehearsal. And so they saw me with this goatee. And that's the way they knew me and saw me. They just saw me that way. And then all of a sudden I walked in without it. And I could just see the looks. No one said anything positively or negatively, which was a little disconcerting. No one said, "Wow, hey, you shaved it off. You look good." Nobody said that. Everybody said, "Oh, you shaved your..." But I didn't get the, "Well, it looks good." If they did, if a few people said it, not as many as you would hope, you know, when you make a major change to your look. You know, women, if you change your hairstyle, you get a haircut, or you grow your hair out, or you do something, you know, you expect some kind of reaction from people, and you hope that it's positive. Well, it was the same way here. I mean, I made a major shift in my look. I shaved off this facial hair that's been a permanent part of my look for almost 30 years, and it is, especially, you know, people that knew me, but especially the people that didn't know me that long and just knew me for wearing it. There I was, and then all of a sudden they had to take pictures of me. And then I really saw what I looked like, and I'm like, I don't know. I don't remember looking like that. I mean, you know, I mean, we age, we all get older, and you get used to seeing yourself older. That's enough of a shock over the years as you get older and age, and you start to accept these new things that are happening to your face from when you're probably 35 on. And you already get used to those every year, these new little wrinkles here, or this new little shift of whatever there. But then you make a major change like this, where you shave off some facial hair and it completely changes the look of your face. And the first thing I looked at was, I'm looking at, you know, because I'm so used to having this mustache part, you know, I mean, around my upper lip. So that's the first thing I see. I mean, you see the bottom half, but, you know, your eyes fixate when you look straight ahead. You know, they fixate pretty much on your eyes and your nose and kind of the upper part of your face. And I've always had hair there. When I look in that mirror for the last almost 30 years, I've got hair there. And it was gone. And suddenly you see your whole upper lip. And I'm like, wow, you know, that mustache, you know, you when you see your nose to your upper lip, you know, there's hair filling that in. And you don't really get a sense of, well, how much space is there, you know, kind of between your nose and your upper lip. You know, you just see that hair there. And so, you just take that for granted, you know. And suddenly, when I'm looking at that, it looked so bare. It looked so weird. You know, like I said, when I shaved off the bottom part, the goatee part, last summer, and I kept the mustache, it wasn't all that altering, you know, because I still had facial hair. And so I would assume that you notice, oh, it's not on the bottom, but it's still filling in that upper lip. So the look was different, but not crazily different. It was a little different, but it wasn't completely different. There was still facial hair there, where it always had been. But when I shaved everything off, wow, that looked bare. It was like, and I'm really was fixating on the space between my upper lip and my nose. I guess they call it the philtrum. That's that area between your upper lip and your nose. And I was looking at, so now, I'm looking in this mirror, because now, as I said before, you know, draw a picture of yourself. What do you think you look like? Draw that picture without any reflection, and then put it up next to you in a mirror and see how close you are. Well, make a major change to your face and then do it. It took a while for me to get used to looking at myself in the mirror and going, okay, that's what I look like now, right? Okay. And then I saw pictures of myself, and I really had to get used to looking at that person and kind of recognizing that person and kind of liking what that person looked like. I mean, don't forget, you know, what we look like is who we are. It's a part of us. Some of it we make choices on, and some of it we have no choice on. But we do our best to present a look to ourselves when we look in the mirror and to the outside world that we are happy with, right? Whether we augment it with makeup or with facial hair, whatever we might do, male or female, we try to make a look that we feel is attractive to us and is attractive, hopefully, to others, right? So it's a major decision, and it's a major thing. And if you find a look that you like, you certainly, you know, get a connection to it, and it defines you in your mind, in your own mind's eye, as well as other people when they say, oh, here comes Jim, well, that's what he looks like. I think personally it's even more of an identifier for yourself. We look at ourselves every day, right? We get used to it. And in this case, this mustache and goatee, that's a definite choice to have as a look. And if I've kept it for almost 30 years, obviously I must like that look on me. And so to suddenly and voluntarily, I might add, of course, remove that was a major deal. At the time when I did it, it was kind of like, oh, what's the big deal? I'm just shaving off my mustache and goatee, big deal, blah, blah, blah. But then when it was gone, I couldn't put it back. if you're a woman, you have a different, lipstick or eyeshadow or whatever you might use, or a different foundation or different makeup, you could say, okay, I don't like this, and you wash it off and you start from scratch. Well, when you shave off that facial hair, you can grow it back, but it's going to take a while. You can't get instant gratification. And so while I just nonchalantly shaved it off, like no big deal, because I'm doing it for my art, of course. I'm playing Henry Drummond, and Henry Drummond was supposed to be Clarence Darrow, and he can't have facial hair. As soon as it was gone, I went, oh, so this is the new me. And I knew it was going to be the new me for at least the next 5 or 6 weeks. That's the face I was going to have to see every day. And it was different. And as I said before, I had a lot of people come up to me and say, wow, you look very different. I didn't hear anybody say you look better. I didn't hear a lot of people say it looks good. I heard, wow, I'm getting used to that. Because I was so identified, I guess, with that goatee look for so many years that it was a shock to a lot of people who never saw me without it. Sometimes people go back and forth. I have a friend of mine who grows and shaves his beard every month and a half. He has a beard. You see him one day and it's gone. And then you see him 2 weeks later and it's back. And then you see him a month and a half later and it's gone. And then you see him. It's not as jarring when you see him clean shaven. I would say for the most part, I've known him, he's had a beard. But there are times when he doesn't, and it's different, but it's not as jarring. I think this was just jarring for people that know me very well, because some people have never seen me without a goatee. Now, my friends and family who've known me for many years, but even them, I've had this mustache and goatee look consistently for almost 30 years. So even if you knew me as a young kid, and even in my early 20s and even in my early 30s through then, and I used to have beards and mustaches on and off, but you remember me without it. But then I've had it for consistently now for 30 years. So even if you remember me without it, you sort of remember me more with it. I've probably had it now longer than I haven't, when I think about it, almost, maybe not, but kind of close. So yeah, it's a complete different change, especially that upper lip part. And I was looking at, and so I was really fixating on the space between my nose and my lip, because that to me was what made me look different, because there was this hair always in there that kind of filled that spot, and now it was gone. And so I was looking at that, and I'm like, and then even in that time period, about 5 years ago, I had tripped and fell, and I had to get about two or three stitches right above my lip on my right side. Just a small cut. It wasn't anything major, but I needed a couple of stitches. And I didn't have to shave the goatee, or my mustache at that time for the stitches. The doctor was able to sew it, with the mustache there. And so, I mean, really the stitches, I had to keep the stitches in there for a couple of weeks, but they took them out. It was only two or three. It's no big deal, but you really couldn't even tell I had the stitches because the mustache was there. And when they took them out, you really couldn't tell. I never really saw the scar. You know, I mean, there's not a big scar, but, you know, obviously whenever they do a stitch, there's something. And so I never even saw that for the first time until I shaved the mustache off. In fact, I was very cognizant of it, of where that spot was, because I could still kind of, if I run my finger, I could feel it a little. In fact, I remember when the doctor was stitching it, it's right next to the lip. It was very small, but it was right next to the lip, kind of on the lip. And the doctor's like, okay, he said, now sit still right now because I have to put this stitch in here and this will determine whether your lip is crooked or not. So I'm gonna try my hardest here, but don't move because I'm gonna make sure that your lip is straight. I mean, that's how close it was to the lip. So I'd never even seen the scar because it was hidden underneath the mustache, and as were the stitches. So I shaved this off once again, but I was a little careful around that because I didn't want to maybe reopen it. It's been 5 years. I'm sure the skin, but you never know. And it was fine. And it's not a very, there's really no scar there that you would say, wow. If you look close, if I tell you, you could see there's like a little mark there. But it was very, as I said, one or two stitches. It was no big deal. And thankfully, the lip is straight. So he did a nice job. But that upper lip was just, that was what was really, I was fixating on. So then I was looking at myself in the mirror. And I'm trying to get used to this look. And, you know, especially the first couple of days. And as I said, you know, a lot of people didn't even comment one way or the other, which I was kind of interesting. So I don't know what the common perception of the clean shaven look was. I mean, since I hadn't had it in so long. So like I said, some people were more shocked than anything else. Wow, look at you. I have to get used to that. Well, you know, they weren't expecting it. But neither was I, really, you know, but I'm looking at this picture. I'm looking at myself in the mirror, and then I'm looking at the pictures that they had taken of me, you know, in the play and costume and everything. And I'm looking every day I'm looking in that mirror, and I'm looking at the space between my nose and the upper lip. And I'm like, you know, that looks like there's a lot of space there. I don't remember that much space there. You know, I was so used to having that hair fill in the space that you don't realize how much space there is there. And I'm like, did I always look like that? You know, I don't remember anymore. You know, it's been a long time. And then you get older as your face changes anyway. I'm like, did I always look that way without the facial hair? And so I got fixated on the space between my nose and my upper lip. So I went online and I thought, well, is there, you know, everybody talks about like, oh, you know, the your facial dimensions are supposed to be this and that, everybody, you know, it talks about this, the space that it should be, you know. And so I of course I went online and I'm like, so what is the space that should be between, you know, the average space between the upper lip and the nose? So I type that in and sure enough, you know, I get when you go on, you know, a search engine, you get an answer to your question. And sure enough, it said the space between the upper lip and the nose is called the philtrum, P-H-I-L-T-R-U-M. Okay, I didn't ask that, but that's a good lead-in. Okay, I learned a new word today, philtrum. That's the philtrum. And then here's the key. Next sentence. The ideal philtrum length is roughly a half inch for women and a couple of millimeters longer for men. But ultimately, it sounds like it should be about a half inch or so. Okay, so 0.5. Okay, I'll give you 0.6 or 0.7 for that extra millimeter, you know, for men. Okay, whatever. But for the most part, it seems like it should be, you know, at least a half inch and maybe a little longer for a man. But it seems like the ideal thing is about a half inch. I'm looking at that and I'm like, I wonder how much mine is. I don't know. And so I get the tape measure out and I measure it. And sure enough, I think mine was like 1.7 something. So it wasn't 1.5. It was a little longer. And they said it's supposed to be a little longer for men. But I still felt like it was on the longer side. I'm like, I don't think, you know, I don't know if this is an optical illusion. I think that the space between my upper lip and my nose is a little longer than it should be, or at least that I remember it being, you know? And so I got, you know, a little, you know, kind of like, And then I was reading, now I got like interested. So now I'm reading more, you know, about this. And it turns out that, you know, that there's like a whole world of the philtrum. There's something called a lip lift. You can actually get plastic surgery to shrink that size. Or you can, get Botox to get a lift. But there's a whole thing now. I never knew that the space between your nose and your upper lip was some kind of a cosmetic thing. I guess I never really realized it because I never really had to pay attention to it. Because I've always had facial hair there. But there's a whole world out there, in terms of this, the philtrum size, the ideal length. And mine seemed a little long, at least to me initially. So then I got a little paranoid about it, you know. But then on a day-to-day basis, I'm looking in the mirror, right? Getting used to this look, and I'm shaving, and I'm getting used to it, and blah, blah, blah. And as the weeks went by, I sort of got used to that look. And I actually saw some pictures and I was like, oh, that doesn't look too bad. At the same time, I was already counting the days of when I would grow my goatee back. I mean, I got used to it. I wasn't embarrassed. I felt like my philtrum length was okay. I got used to my philtrum length of 0.7 inches. So I got used to my philtrum length. But I also was, as the play got closer to its end, I was now having to decide and figure out, well, when could I get a head start on growing my goatee back? Like, how many days Could I, the fact, now I was all, I've always been paranoid, right, the last several years. Like, I realized that now my beard and mustache are pretty much gray. I mean, I don't know if they're fully gray or not, but they're fairly gray. And so I'm like, the fact that it's gray might now actually be a benefit for me in growing it back, because it wouldn't be that obvious. So the play ended on a Sunday. So on the Monday before that Sunday, the week before, I was not shaving to see, like I shaved on the Sunday of a show. So then on the next week, the Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, we were off. So I didn't have to shave necessarily. So I wanted to start to experiment to see, like, how long would it be obvious that if I were to grow the mustache and goatee back, I would shave the rest of my face, but I would leave that and start to grow it, you know, make that line. And when would it become apparent? Now, if my hair was darker, it would probably be in a couple of days. But because it was grayer, I've noticed I can get away with it. Even with the lights and with the stage, and the audience was fairly close. But I could go a couple, 3 days maybe without it looking like I was growing something, because it was grayish. And so I figured it out. And so I shaved on Thursday night before the last weekend, before the Friday, Saturday, and Sunday shows. And I figured I could get at least I wouldn't have to shave every day. I can get a 3-day jump on growing it back. As much as I got used to seeing myself, as much as I got used to it, as much as I kind of liked it, I was getting used to it. And there was even a fleeting moment when I said, do I really want to grow this back? But then I said, yeah, I do. I do. I'm used to seeing myself with the mustache and goatee, and I like myself with the mustache and goatee. That's how when I close my eyes, that's how I see myself. If I were to draw a picture of myself without any reflection, I would grow it. I would draw myself with the goatee. It's the look I've had for almost half my life, and consistently. So yeah, I'm growing it back. And so I devised that and I shaved it back. And so now here we are, middle of December. And it was, I think, well, I probably started growing it on the, my last time I shaved the goatee was on the, probably the 20th of November at night. And I would say by 2 weeks, it was clearly, I clearly had a goatee. And by 2.5, it was back. So it took me about 2.5 weeks to get. I mean, you could see I had one within a week or so, but then it needed to grow in a little more where it was like a fully grown. So it was probably 2.5 weeks when I had it back. And I look in the mirror and I'm like, okay, I know who that guy is again. And when I draw my picture, it has the goatee and he's there. But I tell you, it was you forget how attached we are to our look and who it defines who we are to other people, certainly, but also, and more importantly, to ourselves. We have to live with ourselves. We have to look at ourselves every day. And so as much as we are projecting a look to the outside world, what I discovered by getting clean shaven, and especially looking at my philtrum, that we really have our look to validate ourselves. We can't feel good about presenting something to the outside world unless we feel about it to our inside world, meaning ourselves. And I guess at this point, for me to feel like I'm Jim Toronto, in my mind, and I guess in a lot of other people's minds, by the way they reacted, And you could take a look. If you go on my Facebook page, you could see some pictures of me without being clean shaven. If you go back to pictures from November, you know, back in my Facebook page, there's pictures of me from the play without the goatee and the mustache. But it's amazing how you think that you're giving this outward look, but it really not only defines yourself to the outside world, how we cut our hair, how we, you know, facial hair, things that we do to augment ourselves, whether it's makeup, whether it's, you know, whatever it might be. It really is defining for us internally to say, who am I and what do I look like? Now, I don't want you to have to go through any kind of big, you know, experiment to find this out. But if there comes a point where you decide to change your hairstyle, you know, grow your hair longer, cut your hair, if you decide to, if you have facial hair, to either shave it off completely or trim it down or trim it off, or make, if you have a beard, make it into a goatee or a mustache, or if you have a goatee, you make it into a full beard, whatever it might be, to change your look. You know, maybe you color your hair, you color your sideburns, you color your beard, you color your mustache and goatee, whatever it might be, whatever you do to present that look to you, to the outside world, that makes you define you to yourself and then define yourself to others. If you change it, take a step back for a second and pretend that you're, and you might not even have to pretend, you might be seeing that other person, that other look, and in many ways it could feel like another person, for the first time. And you say to yourself, oh, do I like that person or don't I? Is that what I look like? I remember the actor and the singer, Kris Kristofferson. You might remember him. Great songwriter, wrote Me and Bobby McGee. He was always had a beard. He was known for his beard. Always had a beard. And then in the 80s, you know, beards kind of went out. It was that clean-shaven look, you know, in the 80s. And beards were out. And Kris Kristofferson shaved off his beard. And he looked completely different. He still looked good. He's a good-looking guy. But he looked, and I have to say, I just recently saw they did something on PBS where they showed The Highwaymen, where he was in this band with Johnny Cash and Willie Nelson and Waylon Jennings. And Willie still had the beard. He shaved his beard off and he looks very strange. Waylon had his beard. He looked completely different without a beard. And he grew his back very quickly, I remember. But Kris Kristofferson had the beard and he looked good, but he quickly grew it back. And he had that beard until he passed away, I think. But when you think of Kris Kristofferson, you think of Kris Kristofferson with a beard. When you think of Willie Nelson, you think of him with a beard. And I guess when I think of myself, I think of myself with a mustache and a goatee. How do you think of yourself? Are you brave enough to make a change? And if you did, do you think you'd keep it? Or you'd go back to the old you that you remember so well? I don't know. It's a gutsy move. It takes a lot of bravery, and it takes a lot of mental work to get used to seeing that other person in the mirror. And you wonder, is that person me, or is that other person me? I was confused for a while. It actually helped me become that character, because when I looked at the picture of myself, I didn't really see myself. So when I see those pictures of me dressed up as Henry Drummond, clean shaven, from an actor standpoint, it was actually probably a good thing, because I was able to lose myself in that look and in that role, because I didn't really see myself. But as soon as it was over, I grew that thing back. I guess in my mind, Jim Tirano has a goatee and a mustache. And so ends another episode of Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Every Monday, new episode is posted at WGNRadio.com or wherever you go to find your favorite podcast. We are there. And don't forget to tell your friends, tell your family, tell anyone who listens to a podcast that your favorite podcast is Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, and it should be theirs too. Your loyalty and devotion are much appreciated. Hope you enjoyed episode number 499. I'm Jim Tirano. I ain't here on business. I'm only here for fun. You've been listening to Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic, from the end of my mind to your ears.